Welcome to the New Swingers Podcast, the only podcast in the world specifically created for and focused on couples who are new to or curious about the swinger lifestyle. It is for audiences of those age 18 years and older. And though we give our opinions, we are not therapists or mental health professionals, and our opinions are simply our own. So here's the deal. Lots of couples new to the swinger lifestyle have a lot of questions, and they're often nervous or feel insecure. Our mission is to help you answer all of those questions so you can explore the swinger lifestyle comfortably at your own pace and make your sex life sizzle. Our voices have been changed to protect our identities, and any email questions of yours that we read will be addressed anonymously to protect your identity as well. And a lot of you ask about wanting to see what June looks like because she sounds so hot. Well, she is hot, and here's how you can see what she looks like. This hot, sexy, gorgeous, former church preschool teacher turned hot swinger wife. Just click the first link in the show notes to check out June's OnlyFans page. You'll get unlimited access to hot, daily, uncensored glimpses of her and her gorgeous 32 double D pierced nipples. She gets pretty crazy on there. Just click the first link in the show notes. Welcome back to the New Swingers Podcast. I'm John.
And I'm June.
And today, we want to share with you some really juicy details about our first hot Halloween hotel sex party.
Woo woo.
What they call in the lifestyle, a hotel takeover. Now, this is our first hotel takeover. And if you don't know what that is, hotel takeover is where an entire hotel gets rented and everyone just is basically half naked or naked on all floors, and everyone's room is a party. And there's people having sex everywhere, and it's totally awesome. That's pretty much the best way I know how to put it. Yeah. Like, the front entrance to this place was closed. Like, you couldn't walk in. It just had a sign that said private event closed. And you had to, like, walk around to the side of the building mm-hmm. where they would let you in. So it was pretty cool, pretty kind of a clandestine, kind of secretive. If mm-hmm. you didn't know any better, you just wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we want to share some details of that and what it was like, because it was our first experience, huh?
Yeah.
And yeah. We'd been part of that club where we used to live, you know, for about a year, but we'd never been to an actual hotel.
No.
And so we didn't know how it would be different or anything, but it was a pretty great experience, and we're going to share some of those details. And by the way, before we get started, if you haven't left us a rating and review, please take the next 3 to 5 seconds and do it. It helps us reach more people who are new to the lifestyle, and we can help reach them with just stuff that we're learning that might be helpful to them.
Definitely.
So just scroll down, click those 5 stars if you think this is a 5-star podcast, and leave a quick review and just mention something that has helped you just very quickly. Just, you know, we love the podcast for this reason, or I love how they talked about that, or it really helped us in this way, just so other people can know mm-hmm. what you're getting out of it too.
Happy Halloween.
Yes, happy Halloween. This was a couple of days before Halloween, and today actually is Halloween.
Yes.
What did you dress up as for the hotel takeover?
It was, I guess, kind of like a sexy mermaid kind of thing, except I didn't have like the fins or anything. It was just like a blue, very see-through leather dress with a mermaid wig. And glitter all over me, and yeah, all sparkly and shiny like a mermaid, I guess.
And I was a pirate because I was there to get the booty. I just thought of that.
Good one.
It's kind of cheesy, but
just like the pirate booty popcorn, I think there is, right?
Oh, that stuff's good. I never knew about that till our kids started getting it.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it's good shit. It's really interesting to me. I know I told this to you after the party. I think it was like the morning after. We were eating breakfast at the hotel, the other hotel where we actually stayed. And something I'm learning more and more about the lifestyle, for me in particular, is that almost nothing feels more naturally fun to me than having sex with people. Everyone might not feel that, but that was like a contemplative point that I walked away with. Like, nothing feels more naturally fun than just having sex with people. And one thing that we've learned about the lifestyle, and your experience may have differed, or it might sometimes, because no group of people is perfect. But one thing I feel like I've learned is that the swinger lifestyle it tends to be very non-judgmental and very generous.
Yeah.
And those were two things we felt the entire time we were there, from the way people were dressed to the way everyone's complimenting each other. Mm-hmm. It was so non-judgmental, regardless of how different a lot of people may have been from one another. Mm-hmm. And also very generous. I mean, people had candy outside their rooms. They had free shots. They had free booze. Like, every hotel room was like its own party.
Well, and when we first got there, we fucking forgot all of our mixers to go with our rum. So we had the rum and nothing to mix it with. We're like, shit.
And what happened?
And what happened was, we were in there in the little area where you can like leave your jackets and stuff and mix the drinks. And a couple are like, hey, we have this Pepsi if you want to use this. I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. So like, everybody's so giving too, like just very, like he said, very generous. And so they're like, hey, use ours. I were like, thank you.
Yeah, they said, hey, come back and use more if you want. You know, we have plenty. And so, yeah, I mean, it was just, the whole night was very much like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the emphasis really wasn't on who can we have sex with? Like, it was just a bunch of naked, partially naked, super sexy, fun people and environment. And, I didn't feel any pressure from anybody about anything. Everyone's just there having fun. And then sex just kind of happens.
Yeah.
You know, if you meet people you click with. So, June, tell us, what was it like when we walked in and, you know, they had us watch like a little 7-minute consent video, just in case people aren't clear on, you know, how to ask for consent. But after that, we're walking down the hallways. Tell us what you recall from just walking down the hallways. What did you see? What was it like?
Well, I mean, some people had their rooms decorated all out, like all get out. And then some rooms were closed, and so that's kind of like, you know, like, hey, if that room's closed, you don't obviously go in the room or try to walk in it. But if the rooms are open, you can walk in. And so some of the rooms were open and they had it like decorated. One of them like was decorated with like Nintendo and Mario theme kind of thing, and so they had like Mario Kart set up on the TV in their room. It was really cool. And then they have like these old Jello shots. And so each room, if you choose to, is decorated. So they were all different, like decorated differently and different themed.
Yeah. And I remember another room had like a couple of Sibians. They were doing Sibian races. If you don't know what a Sibian is, it's like a vibrating saddle that women can sit on. And basically the first woman to have an orgasm wins.
It's awesome. I own one.
Yes, you used one once at a party.
And then I got one.
Then you got one very soon after.
Yes.
We consider that a good investment in our sex life because mm-hmm. it's fun. So, yeah, so we're walking around. There's different rooms. You know, you would think if you've never been to an event like this that it would be awkward or weird. There was nothing awkward or weird at all. It's like a bunch of really nice people having a good time, dressed up, and the whole thing is very highly sexual of an environment.
Yeah, I remember they did have like a big, huge, like sound system. When we got there, the DJ wasn't there yet, but they had a huge sound system right in the hallway, and like kind of towards the entrance a little bit. And so they had, you know, lots of really cool upbeat, you know, music playing. Had lights and stuff. It was really cool environment. Like I said, every room was decorated differently. So you kind of just walk down the hall and, oh, there's an open door. So you go in there and we'd introduce ourselves, or some of them would be like, hey, come on in. So we'd walk in and introduce ourselves, and they'd introduce themselves and, hey, you want a shot? Or, hey, do you want... Some of them had them like in needles, like a little shot of the juice in like a needle looking thing.
They were fake plastic syringes.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of, you know, they would fill up the syringe with that and you just drink it right out of the syringe.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was moonshine. Yeah, I think it was red. That whole room was like red and black.
Yeah.
And they were like doctor, nurse or something.
Uh-huh.
And so they were handing that out, and like, it was like strawberry moonshine or something.
It was good.
It was really good. I had had quite a bit to drink early on. And so I made that kind of my last shot. But then in the next room, this guy's like, man, we don't even need this bottle of vodka. And he goes, do you want some? And I'm like, well, how do you say no to free vodka? So I filled up my empty cup with some vodka and waited to mix it with something else that I found later. I actually had to put that down, though, and not because I didn't want to be able to not perform or have my wits about me.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty funny. Very, very generous, as we said.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool experience, though, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was. Very different. But it was nice in its own way. But it was very different from what I'm used to being in a club setting. So, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are, you know, they get kind of nervous if they've never been to one of these. And I'll just tell you from our experience, there's absolutely no reason to be nervous at all. It was very controlled. There was nothing out of control. There was nobody acting crazy or stupid, nothing like that. And it was a really, really good experience.
Guys, have you found it difficult to get and keep an erection while at lifestyle events? If so, you're not alone, and it's common. The new environment and the distractions can contribute to a lack of an erection due to performance anxiety at the very moment you need it the most. I personally ran into this issue early on in the lifestyle, and it was super frustrating. But don't worry, there's a solution. If you use our link in the show notes and use the coupon code NEW, N-E-W, at checkout, you'll get $30 off your order of FDA-approved ED medication from Shameless Care so you can get hard and stay hard in the moments that matter most. Don't question your manhood or feel like less of a man ever again. Just click the link in the show notes right now to get $30 off before the promotion ends so you can get back in the game and blow your sex partner's mind. Click the link right now and simply use the coupon code NEW, N-E-W, at checkout.
And, you know, we did end up meeting a pretty cool couple while we were walking down the hallway. And I think she was in the room pouring a drink and he was standing right outside the door. And we're just walking by, you know, smiling at people, saying hi. We knew nobody. We had never known anybody there. Mm-hmm. And he just ended up saying hi. And so we stood there and talked to him, and turns out he is also was in the military, and she had been in the military in the past, and you know they were a lot like us in that way, and so we kind of hit it off, and then she came to the door.
Yeah, so then we were all standing there talking, and then as we're talking, they're like, hey, do you want to come in and get a drink? We're like, sure. And so we all went in and just started, we sat down and we're just talking, kind of getting to know each other and stuff.
Yeah, we found out there's something interesting that we all had in common, not just our prior military connection.
Oh, yeah.
But we found out that I always had this thing that says, this phrase I use in this kind of setting where I say, you know, all that effort, but Sunday school didn't work. Uh-huh. Tell them what we found out.
Well, one of them was Mormon, one of them was Baptist, John was Catholic, and I was grew up Pentecostal, so we had all four of us in a room from way different religious backgrounds. It was really funny. We all just started busting up laughing.
But all kind of extreme backgrounds too.
Yes.
I mean, your definition of extreme might vary, but you know, having grown up Catholic and now not being, it's like, oh, that's got some extremities. Mormon, I don't know too much about it, but I've heard it's kind of extreme from, you know, ex-Mormons we know. And then you grew up Pentecostal, which anybody who knows what that is. You know, when you even said, when she asked, you know, the lady, when she asked what you grew up, she goes, I grew up Baptist. What'd you grow up? And you told her, she goes, oh my God. Like, she goes, oh. And she has a shock. Her eyes got big.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you've heard about that. And she's like, oh, are they the ones that like all this and that? And, you know, the speaking tongues, I think, and like they roll around and they shake, and it's like, yeah, that it's like,
and then the husband's like, oh yeah, well, I grew up Mormon. I was like, oh shit.
We're like, you might have her beat on that one. Though I don't have any personal experience with Mormons. The only thing I know about Mormons is that they're basically all
as far as I've my experiences, the nicest damn people I've ever met.
Oh, yeah, totally. They're the ones that there's some, they knock on the doors and stuff, but yeah,
well,
like that's,
too.
But that's all I know about them. Yeah. Is they're super nice, like super, super nice.
Yeah. But yeah, Sunday school didn't work on any of us, which we would then prove, you know, as the night continued on, because the next thing we did was we played Spin the Bottle.
Yes, we did. And I have never played that before ever. And so I remember telling John the next day, I was like, I played Spin the Bottle for the first time, but this was even hotter because I didn't just kiss. Well, yes, a lot more happened, but I would say because I was kissing girls too and not just the guys.
Yeah, and you did way more than kissing girls and guys too.
Well, yes, but we're not there yet.
Oh, okay. Didn't want you acting prude or anything.
No, we're not there yet in our discussion.
Oh, okay. Well, because as we played Spin the Bottle, the door was still open mm-hmm. to the hotel room. And then we had probably four or five other couples come in, go out, and they would have a drink and sit and play. And then, you know, I'm straight hetero. All the guys were straight heterosexual. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there was ever more than like three or four couples at a time. And so our rule was just like, all right, if it points to two guys, we'll just respin it or whatever.
Yeah. Sometimes it'd be in the middle, so then we're like, we'd tell the guy, okay, well, you pick who you want to kiss because it's right in the middle.
Yeah, and it was hot, too, because, I mean, you're not really in control of that, but then it lands on, like, someone you'd really like to kiss. And then, I mean, every girl there was hot. Like, every woman, like, there isn't one I didn't want to kiss. And, you know, then this awesome Latino couple came in, and there was this beautiful, very short, very petite, beautiful Latina girl. She sat next to me, and it somehow it spun, but then it rolled, and it like one end of the bottle was like at my knee, and the other was at hers, and we're like, oh, I guess that's what that means. And so that was a really cool experience. She was pretty new to the lifestyle, and so we let her know, hey, if there's anything you know you don't want to do, it's, you know, it's not personal. It's fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine. You know, if you don't want to, then don't. You know, everyone there overemphasized that consent piece,
yeah.
Which made it really non-weird for everybody, which is one reason I think the whole party was so great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we did some smooching.
Yeah, but then they made the rule of, okay, if you've already kissed that person, then you have to do more. Which it never happened with me that way, but it happened with you a few times with the same person that we ended up playing with later.
Yes, it did.
I'm like, oh my gosh, are you trying to like, he kept getting on you guys. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like the fourth time.
Well, and half the time I wasn't even the one spinning it. So I made out with the lady one time, but then the next time it's like, I don't remember what we did, but then like the third time she was wearing like an apron. And so with nothing under it, which was totally hot. So she took the apron top off. You know, and then we started moving a little further south. You know, like, well, I can lick here and do this. Okay. And then things just kind of, it got to a point where I think he said, it was only the four of us again.
Yeah.
Those two couples. And he said, hey, he wants to close the door? And I said, yeah, that'd be less distracting. Of course, you know where that's going.
Yeah.
And yeah, tell us what happened.
So she was on the bed.
Well, before you get there, one of the beds had ropes tied to it.
Well, yes, I was about to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She was
sitting. You're getting ahead.
She was sitting on the bed, and on that bed she was sitting on had ropes that were attached to the bed. They were red, and I think me and her started kissing and making out, and then we tied her up first, and so like John's going down on her, I'm sucking on her tits, her husband's making out with her, we were all like playing with her, yeah, like we were all playing with her first.
Yeah, we got her naked. And later back and, yeah, tied her down and she had three people just pleasing her, touching her, hands all over, lots of kissing and
all kinds of stuff going on. And yeah, she, I think she had an orgasm from it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember getting really loud. Mm-hmm. So
maybe.
I think she may have. And then we did the same to you.
Yes.
That was your first experience, I believe, having three people just focus on you. You know, guys and girls.
Well, and tied down.
Yeah. Tell us about what that was like. Or were you nervous leading up to it at this point, or excited, or what? And what was the experience like?
I was nervous leading up to the hotel party, but once we got there and I was still shaky once we got there.
No, I mean once you were about to be tied down.
I know, I'll get there. But then once I had some alcohol in me, that always makes me feel a little bit more brave. And so at that point, the alcohol was kicking in. And so I wasn't nervous anymore at that point. I was a little bit when we were going to, but because you blindfolded me too. And so, I forgot that, yeah, she was blindfolded also. Well, and I was too when it was my turn. And so that was like, oh, okay. I mean, I was a little nervous, but I think I was more excited at that point just because the alcohol had kicked in. So, yeah. So it was nice. Like I laid back and was blindfolded and tied down. And I think the guy went down on me and then somebody was kissing me and somebody was sucking my boobs. But again, I was blindfolded. So
that would be her and I both alternating. And we did a three-way kiss with you at one point as you're laying there tied down and blindfolded. Her and I did a three-way kiss with you.
Oh, okay.
Because we were like,
I don't remember that part.
Yeah. Oh, I do. So what was it? What was it like just laying there blindfolded? You're tied down, can't go anywhere, and you just have people like touching you, kissing you, pleasing you. What was that like?
It was really nice. It felt good. It felt like I was like really wanted, I guess is the word. I like that feeling just because I think that's a big part of like just me growing up the way I did and a lot of things that went on in my home. I never really felt loved or wanted. And so, and everything's a sin and you're going to hell for everything. And so, and now I don't believe that, but yeah, I think it was the feeling of just feeling loved and wanted by more, you know, and of course, John and I, we love each other and we always want each other, but I think it was great to have more people that don't know you necessarily. And they're wanting to show you love, you know?
Yeah. The knowing that you are desired in such a way by other people who you don't even know, and they have no reason to lie or try to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. To feel desired to the extent that they want to sexually play with you and be played with by you. It's really validating.
Yeah.
It's really a deep human connection, and it's really fun. And I was always sort of taught like you don't do that with anyone except your spouse because it is such a deep connection that it could destroy your relationship, which that does and could happen, but that definitely doesn't with us because with us it's like it's an experience we share together, and as we're sharing that together, it's funny like how we feel like we have deeper friendships with people that we've actually slept with when we met them, and then over time we get to know them. It's like we actually like them more. And it's not because, we might get to have sex again with them. But it's like when your clothes are off and you're having these very consensual, pleasurable moments with people, at least for me, I tend to feel like I have a more of a genuine respect for them as a person because I've gotten to know them in such, I guess, a transparent way up front where I don't know how else to really say it. But, and it's not sex driven or anything like that. I just feel like, I've wanted deeper friendships my whole life and I basically never had them. Just, it's been difficult for me over most of my life to have that. And I think it's just, probably issues from my childhood of, rejection or things I felt. And so the lifestyle really affords that to me. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I respect people more. Who are open and non-judgmental, and even whether you do or don't have an experience with them, but for the ones that we have, we've had
we have great friends who we've met in the lifestyle, and it didn't destroy the friendship or anything, or our relationship. If anything, it's enhanced our relationship and it's enhanced our friendship with those people. Would you agree with that?
I think so. Yeah. But I was writing something down while you were talking too. I walking away from all this now, we'll get back to the juicy details in a minute, but walking away from all of this, I remember telling John, that we're, hanging out before we got home. We were on our way home. And I remember telling him, I was like, God is love is what we grew up hearing, And I was kind of like another way to help me, because I have discovered that I sometimes overthink, and I'm working on that and getting a lot better at it. But things that I have worked to help me overcome that religious shit. And one thing that I discovered the other day was, as I was talking to John, I was like, we're taught God is love. And you know what? Something that really has helped me, and hopefully it'll help other listeners out there, but God is love. Well, we are showing God's love to other people when we are like playing with other people. I feel like that's something that I kind of walked away from all of this, is saying, this is fun. This is enjoyable. This is the confetti on top of the cake, that we do occasionally. But it just made me realize, God is love. Well, we're showing God's love to these people by loving them and showing them that they're loved for who they are.
Yeah. And something else, because immediately when I hear things like that, the old me that wants to argue from a religious standpoint, I can hear the rebuttal already, the argument saying, yeah, well, love and lust are two different things and lust is bad. Well, lust is just one ingredient in the entire recipe of friendships and relationships, mm-hmm. and being a human being. We don't believe lust is bad. Nobody would fuck, and our our species would not procreate if there wasn't lust. So we don't believe lust is bad. If it's misused, it's bad, obviously. You can't abuse people.
Yeah.
But sharing it is really exciting. And not only that, but think about this. There's lots of ways to express love. Lots of different ways. Well, sex is one of the most powerful ways that, as human beings, we express love. Sex is a very powerful expression of love and acceptance. I mean, imagine somebody who's not feeling good about themselves. Maybe they're self-conscious. Maybe they think they're uglier, not attractive. But then a really nice person in the lifestyle, who they think is attractive, is very interested in them and wants to play around with them a little bit. And you have a great time. People walk away realizing, I'm not, a lot of times I'm not as bad off as I thought I was, or I'm not ugly at all. That person or those beautiful people, mm-hmm. Were interested in me.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because as you're saying that, I'm thinking, because I had to have another procedure this summer, and it took me 8 weeks to heal from that surgery. And it was just a minor surgery, but it took a long time because of where they relocated, my surgery piece. They had to move. It took a lot longer than I thought it was going to. And so I noticed that I was eating a lot of crap that I shouldn't be eating. And I had to stop working out because I was still in so much pain that I gained some weight back. So then I have a new scar. And so I kind of was a little self-conscious going to this party. I remember looking in the mirror as I'm getting ready, oh shit, that ugly scar on my, on my body. And then we played with this couple, and this dude is in really good shape. Like I could feel his abs. I was like, oh shit. it was awesome.
Active military.
Yeah. I was like, oh wow. And so it was nice to play with a guy who's attractive and who's in really good shape. And I'm not as in good shape as I want to be right now, cause I'm trying to work back on, I'm working out again and doing all that, but
you're doing way better than you think. And you're pretty close to your goal anyway.
Well, thank you. But us women, we're hard on ourselves. But it was nice to like play with a guy who's attractive and in really good shape, and to think that that does make you feel good. It makes helps your self-esteem, I think, you know.
Yeah, so would you say that's a form of an expression of love towards another human being, and that everyone walked away feeling better and accepted and better about themselves, in addition to having a really good pleasurable experience with him and his wife?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Definitely, for sure.
So after we were done with you tied down blindfolded, then you gave her an experience that was the first time she'd ever had this experience, which I just thought it was so cool. I mean, it was super hot, but when I say it was cool, I think it's really awesome that you like playing with women in this certain way. And so many women haven't done it, that you genuinely introduce them to something that most of them end up liking.
Yeah.
And I just think it's cool that you can share that with them. And it's this, not just a hot sexual experience, but it's a beautiful experience for the two of you, at least from looking at it from the outside. You want to say what her first experience was that she had with you, that you kind of gifted her in a way?
Or
shared with her?
It was her first experience with a double dildo. And I love the one I have because it vibrates also. So
explain what a double dildo is and who uses it. In case for some reason somebody doesn't know.
Yeah, it's for women. It's basically a way that women can fuck each other. Because we obviously don't have dicks. And so it's like a dick shaped long, long looking dick. Basically, and it vibrates.
Well, and each side is shaped like a dick. Each end is shaped like a dick.
Yes, yes. So each side of it is shaped, like both ends of it are shaped like a dick. And so you just stick it up there in your pussy, and then she sticks it up there in her pussy, and then we.
So imagine like you're on top or she's on top. It's kind of like you can do it kind of like riding on top of her, she's riding on top of you.
She got on top of me, which was hot. And we just fuck each other with it, and it's amazing, and it vibrates on both ends, and so it gets your clit good, nice and good with vibration, and then the friction of feeling her pussy on me, and so it was super hot. I came within a few minutes, and then she came like a couple minutes later. So we played with that for a good probably 20 minutes probably. And that was really hot. And then after that, I looked over at the guys and I was like, hey, how about we please you guys now? And so then John laid back on one bed and our guy friend laid on the other. Or no, I think it was the same bed.
We were side by side on the same bed.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, before you forget, while she was riding you with that double dildo, I think you were still tied to the bed blindfolded, which was also really hot.
Oh, was I?
I think you were. I don't remember untying you until like you got up and you all started to please us.
Oh, wow.
Just for a good little visual for our listeners.
No, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, you were in the moment. You weren't thinking about anything.
Nope.
Yeah. So, yeah, you said you guys, or you two ladies, told us, hey, you guys, it's your turn. Lay down.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were like, okay, it's y'all's turn. And here's the thing about me. I'm still really discovering playing with guys, and so I get really nervous. And so my way of getting nervous is like, okay, I'm so nervous. Like, so that's why I was like, hey, it's your turn, guys, because I want to try to overcome my nervousness.
Well, you're hoping like you like it when people just tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Take control. That way you don't have to think or feel nervous or awkward. And so So that's when basically, and I you kind of joked to me about it, like, I don't know what to do here. And we all kind of laughed. And that's when, like, I told you to get on your knees. And so you did. And that kind of kicked it off there. And
yeah,
then his wife got down, you know, in front of me and started doing the same thing with me. Mm-hmm. So the visual is, you know, he and I are laying on the end of the bed and both our ladies are on their knees. But, you know, we switched ladies. And so, yeah, it was a very hot scenario.
Mm-hmm. And then it kind of just escalated from there.
it kind of tends to do that. In case you're new to the lifestyle, when you start playing, there's usually a pretty quick tipping point. Once you sort of get into something, you're not thinking anymore, and everything just sort of organically goes. Like, I know a lot of people that they think like, oh, we have to do this, and then what about this or that, or what if this happened? It's like, not for us at least, none of that has ever come to mind.
No.
Once you start playing, it's like a roller coaster. It just starts going on its own.
Yeah, and then it was like, oh, maybe we should get condoms, and we're like, yep. And so
that's... I think I said that. Hey, mind if I get a condom?
Yeah, I think he said the same thing. And so y'all both got your condoms on, and then we went to town. And I...
One-way ticket to Pound Town.
So we full swapped, which means I'm with the other guy and John's with the lady. And so, you know, we had already kind of discussed before we even started playing, like, hey, do you have any boundaries or anything like that? We always discuss all that beforehand. We just kind of, I just told him, I'll let you know if it's something I don't like, I'll just let you know. Otherwise, go ahead and go for it.
Yeah. So we were on the bed, both couples, you know, we were both on the bed and we were both, you know, doing stuff with each other and, side by side. Then I remember at one point we had both of you like in doggy style. Mm-hmm. And then I think I had her on the side of the bed and you guys are still up on it. And then what happened, I got tired of kind of standing there on the side of the bed, you know, in the same position. So we actually, her and I moved over to the couch and, you know, she got on top and just kind of switched it up so I can have a little bit of a break where I'm not doing all the work. Because about 80% of the time during an interaction, I'm happy to do the work. But also, I do need time like where I can just lay there or sit there, mm-hmm. and have her do some. You know, so she was, you know, right on top of me. And after that, we decided actually to go to the other bed because there was more room. There were two beds in the room. And so I stood up and actually stood up with her legs still around me and carried her over to the bed. And we like kind of like fell onto the other bed. So I'm like walking across the hotel room with her arms and legs wrapped around me. And so...
I didn't even know that. I was in my own little world.
Yeah, you
and
were.
I didn't even know that you turned the air way the fuck down too, didn't you?
Yeah, so the thermostat was right next to this bed that I just kind of like plopped down with her on. And I stretched and reached way over. And it was at like 71 or 69. I turned it down to like 62, like really cold. Because one thing I've learned about me, at least, and I told them this, once my body starts getting really hot in a room, my performance starts to decline. If it just gets way too hot and sweaty, like your body gets so hot. Mm-hmm.
Well, that like, happens to us at home.
Yes.
You get so fucking hot, you get pissed. You're like, fuck, it's hot in here. Okay, warm me back up because then we can finish.
After turning on some fans and the air down, yeah. It's like almost there. And it's like, fuck, I can feel it. It's getting too hot in here. So like, I just, here in the hotel, I stretched way over. And I think I was still in there, but way over to the wall. And click, 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 click. I don't think anyone noticed. And we kind of laughed. And, you know, we played around there a bit. And then I think it kind of started kind of coming to an end. We're all just kind of laying there, just
kind of all tired at that point,
tired and laughing and joking. And
Yeah. And then we just like, then we sat up and we, I think we just like sat up and like hung out and just like sat on the couches and just talked for gosh, 30, 40 minutes, probably at that point. After that, we just kind of talking about life and whatever.
Yeah, you know, something else too, beforehand, we discussed, you know, consent. Obviously, we discussed do's and don'ts. But also, we also discussed, like, what does anyone in particular like?
Yeah.
And I remember her and June were basically the same, and they even joked about that, like, as far as what they like. Mm-hmm. And one thing I remember her saying, which I totally love because I like doing this, as she said, the other wife, she said she loves having her hair pulled. And I thought, okay, because that's fun. And so I remember, throughout the interaction doing that, and she loved it. But I also remember earlier on, before we swapped, we had you tied down to the bed and we were all pleasing you. And I was sort of like behind her in my position. And she sat up for a minute And so when she did, I remember grabbing the back of her hair and like pulling her head back toward my shoulder. And when I did, I could see her whole body and expression just like, like melted. And I laughed and I think I said something like, oh, you do like that, don't you? I can tell your whole body just telling, and we were laughing because I grabbed the back of her hair and just kind of pulled it a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, back toward me a little forcefully, not hard. And like her whole body just like gave way. She's like, you know, like, mm-hmm. yeah, I thought that was totally awesome. That's so hot to me. And so what she said she liked, I'm like, well, I did that. And it's like, oh, she really, really liked that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I do too. Mm-hmm. I'm where I'm at right now. I only like you doing that. Now that might change eventually, but yeah. You know, I think I would like to try next time, maybe have the guy do that. If it's a guy we're playing with, and maybe I want to try that eventually to see, cause I haven't before, but yeah, with him for sure. I'm the same way. Like pull my hair, like choke me, do all the things.
I'm not going to say I'm getting hard sitting over here, but I am. Pull my hair, choke me. That's fucking hot. Especially if you're kind of the person who likes doing that, you know? And I think, you know, as you're saying, you might want to try that, you know, next time we play with another guy. This is just my speculation. Given you have a history of abuse earlier in your life involving men, mm-hmm. I think that's probably where that comes from. I think, and I'm just predicting, I could be wrong. I think once you realize that other guys that are involved in the lifestyle, I think once you have enough experience, baby step in to realize, oh, it's not like controlling or abusive, like your foundational history was with that kind of act. Once you realize that it's playful, and in addition to the fact it's something you already like from me,
yeah,
I think you'll warm up to that or end up liking it. But I just think, you know, it's just where you're at in your yeah. lifestyle journey. And I could be totally wrong, but I think it might stem from just maybe negative past experiences. But I think once you realize things are safe and mm-hmm. people are being nice and doing it because they think you'll enjoy it. That to me, at least, that seems to be how sexual evolution works. If we are cautious or nervous about trying something a certain way, but we're not totally against it, and then we end up liking it. That seems to be the process as far as I can tell, but I could be totally wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, and my abuse wasn't in a very violent way, but I was very young. I was like 3 or 4 when I was raped and molested for a while, but I mean, but it only involved men. And so I think that's why, like, you know, I'm very picky with guys that I choose to swap with, and it's still very new to me. And so I'm still kind of up in the air of, you know, how exactly I feel about playing with guys a lot. Like, I had a great time. Don't get me wrong. It was a great experience. I feel like I think, what's the right word? Maybe timid's the right word. Still a little nervous about playing with guys, I think. You know, just because it's very new to me, and maybe because of what I went through. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure it out myself still.
I think women may, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think women may maybe feel less threatening towards you. Would you say that? I mean, I know the abuse you suffered in the past was from men. Mm-hmm. Do you think women just feel safer in general to play with? Like, maybe they're less likely to do something you don't want because they kind of know what it's like being a woman who doesn't want someone doing something they don't want. Or is it that, or is that off completely?
I really don't know. I mean, it very much could be the case. I just don't really know at this point yet. I think, you know, as I continue playing with men, that might be I might get less and less, less and less timid. But I think there is a lot of that of just being hurt by men as a kid. Like I think that nervousness is probably from that, I think.
Okay. Yeah. And that's totally understandable.
But it was a great experience. I will say though, this weekend was great. The guy was very respectful. It was very fun. I had a great time.
Yeah. Now overall, it was a great first hotel takeover.
Absolutely.
Fun time. And after that, we all basically just started getting tired. And, you know, there's another particular couple we were hoping to be able to meet and play with. Uh-huh. It didn't happen, but we're in touch with them. So maybe it will. But even after playing with the couple we did, we were both spent.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
We were both like even if we saw another couple, we'd want to say yes, but we're so damn like tired. Like we shot our shot, you know.
And well, now and I basically fucked two different people, so I was very sore.
Basically, you literally did.
I know. It's all like I'm really sore from fucking two different people.
And so we got, you know, we stayed at a different hotel about a mile away. We didn't sign up in time to get a room there. And what was funny is, if you remember earlier in the podcast episode, we talked with this other couple before playing, and we all found out that, you know, we'd grown up kind of extreme religious, but different, like Baptist, Mormon, Pentecostal, and Catholic. Well, then June and I called an Uber to take us, you know, a mile down the street because it was nighttime and cold. And I remember screenshotting it on my phone because the Uber driver's name was Jesus or Jesus. So the funny part was we just went to a big swinger party on Halloween. We played with people who also came up with extreme religious backgrounds like us. And then Jesus gave us an Uber ride back to our hotel. We thought that was ironic and funny.
Yes.
So yeah, that was our first hot and sexy Halloween hotel sex party. We hope you enjoyed that.
Yes.
Make sure you go check out June on OnlyFans if you want to see what the rest of them saw. She's very hot, very beautiful. The link is the first link in the show notes. It says something about checking out June's big pierced nipples and on her OnlyFans. So go give that a look if you want to see what this beautiful woman looks like. Since if you like the voice and you want to see what matches the voice, you'll see that. Anything else you think, June? Oh, here we go. Oh my God. The obligatory New Swingers podcast blowjob on air. You love doing those, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
You're welcome.
Thank you. I never put June up to that.
Nope.
That was all her idea, and she sprung it on me one day, and I thought, what in the world are you? I'm like, oh, that's what you're doing. So, hey, the swinger lifestyle can be fun. We've had great experiences, and we hope you do too. So, happy, sexy Halloween.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the New Swingers Podcast. Do you have a question about the swinger lifestyle or an issue you're struggling with? Send us an email at newswingerspodcast@gmail.com. newswingerspodcast@gmail.com. And there's a good chance we may anonymously feature and discuss your question so it can be helpful for you as well as other listeners. Just send us an email at newswingerspodcast@gmail.com.